Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
I want to share a scripture this morning, then I'm going to pray. It's in Jeremiah 18, verse 4, it says, "But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him." Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I just commit this next part to you, Lord. Holy Spirit, speak through me this morning. Let every heart be open to what you want to speak this morning. And we declare that, Jesus, you are at the center, Lord. And as long as you're at the center, then we shall win, Father. So we give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. And in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says, amen, amen, and amen. Well, what a privilege to be able to share God's word this morning. I never take it lightly. I always thank Pastor Paul, Sister Vicky, for the faithfulness, continuous faithfulness, year after year after year after year after year. They still keep going. They're like spiritual Duracell batteries, amen. That no matter, whenever people have stopped, they've just kept going and kept going and kept going. And it's a privilege to follow such amazing footsteps as they follow Jesus. Amen. And I also thank my beautiful wife. She's always pushing me. She's always encouraging me. She's just amazing. I just thank my wife and my kids. And it's always a privilege to share God's word. And the title I want to look at this morning is Jesus at the Center. And in that portion of scripture I read, it said, "But when the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands, so the potter formed it into another pot, shaping as it seemed best to him." How many people feel right now that you're in a season of molding and shaping? That you're in a season right now that God has got you in a place where he's fixing you, where he's challenging you, where he's enabling you, where he's empowering you, where he's removing some stuff from you because it's no of him. And we feel like we're getting molded and we feel like we're getting pressed. And we feel like we're on that journey, and sometimes it can feel hard and it can feel difficult and it can feel overwhelming sometimes. But how many know that that's part of God's journey, amen? That God's got us on a journey of preparing us for what he's got prepared for us. But how many know that we can't go where God's prepared for us with some of the stuff that we are carrying right now? With some of the stuff that we've allowed into our lives, with some of the stuff that's been there as we've grew up, with some of the stuff that we've carried. And I read a recent fact the other day there about the art of pottery. It says when a potter is preparing to shape a new vessel from a lump of clay, he needs to ensure that that clay is placed exactly in the middle of the potter's wheel. Once he starts shaping that pot and the wheel is spinning, the clay will respond to where it's been placed on the wheel to start with. If the clay is off center, the force will sling it against the wall, or its shape will be marred by the fact its balance is out. How many know that being balanced is so important in life as a Christian? That we can't be too over there or too over there, but we need to be balanced in center of where Christ wants us to be. See, that little fact about the pottery, it drives home the importance of where we position ourselves in our relationship with God and how we respond to his shaping process in our life. Because the way that we respond is so important. When God is molding you, when God is challenging you, when God turns the heat up on you, when God starts to highlight certain areas in our lives, it can feel uncomfortable sometimes when you're under God's spotlight. Because when you're under God's spotlight, sometimes the things that we see in ourselves doesn't make us too happy.
when we see some areas in our life that needs fixed, when we see some areas in our life that needs to be removed or changed, when we get challenged to step up, when we get challenged to do certain things, it can feel uncomfortable. But just like when that piece of clay is not in the center, it starts to splatter all over the walls. Is that not like our life sometimes? When we're not in the presence and in the center of God's will for our life, we start making mistakes, we start doing the wrong things, we start walking through the wrong doors, we start getting involved with the wrong crowds, we start doing things that we shouldn't do, we start basically just start splattering all over the walls. But when you're in the center of God's presence, when you're in the place that God wants you to be, then God gets you in that process where He wants to do some stuff in your life. See, the Word of God speaks that God's the potter and we're the clay. And a piece of clay doesn't reason with the potter regarding what he's planning. See, the clay does not say to the potter, what are you doing? But sometimes we say that to God, don't we? God, why have you got me in this season? God, why are you forcing me to give up that? Why are you challenging me to stop doing that? Why have you got me in such a place where I feel so vulnerable that the only place that I can turn to get the peace is turn to you? But we ask God those questions sometimes. We ask God the questions of, why did you create me like this? We're unhappy with the image we see in the mirror, or dissatisfied with our abilities or our lack. We question God's goodness and His plans for our lives when we see the flaws and the struggles within us. But how many know that we're not alone in this journey? We're not alone in this walk. See, God sees and God knows the flaws that you've already got. And that's why sometimes seasonally, God will put you back in that place of the preparation and back in that place where He can get your attention, back in that place so He can get you on His wheel where He can start to mold you and shape you again. See, in the hands of the Master Potter, our Heavenly Father, we are shaped and formed. We start as marred vessels, marred by our own sin. Then the potter goes to work. He begins shaping us into a vessel that He can make to use. In salvation, He recreates us and remakes us, and we become His workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. See, God has got a plan for each and every one of us. God's got good works ahead for you, for me, and for us. But sometimes we have to go into that place where He has to mold and shape us, because we are doing it for His honor and for His glory. I love what it says in Psalm 23, verse 3. It says, He renews my strength. He guides me along the right paths, bringing honor to His name. See, it's bringing honor to His name. See, when we are not in the center of the will of God for our life, or we're not in the center where God wants us, do we ask ourselves the question, is the way that my life is living, is it bringing honor to His name? Is the way that I'm acting, or the way that I'm presenting myself, or the stuff that I'm involved in, is it bringing honor to God's name? Because God has created us in His image. God has created us to bring glory to His name. I love what it says in 2 Peter. It says, His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him called us by His own glory and goodness. See, everything that we need is in Christ. Everything that we need for this journey is found in Him. We don't need to go looking elsewhere for it, because elsewhere it will just be artificial. But the real stuff is when we're in Christ, when He prepares us, when He molds us, and He shapes us, and He prepares us for what He's got in store for us down the line. But sometimes we want to quicken up the process. Sometimes we want it and we want it now. But how many know it's a process? It's a journey. It takes time sometimes for God to mold us and God to shape us. It takes time. It's not sometimes an overnight process, but sometimes it can be, because God is God and God is sovereign and He's the potter and we're the clay. So it's up to Him how long the process is. But it's not usually an overnight process. Like any good potter, God places us and centers us on the potter's wheel to make us into something he can use and display his glory. Because sometimes we get caught in the trap that we're saved to look good. But how many know that we're saved because he's good? We're saved because he's good. Because he came and rescued us when we were messed up. That he opened the doors for us, that he came and saved us, that he sent his son Jesus for us, that when we were messed up. See, we can choose to obey him or not. We can choose to submit our lives to the potter or to rebel against his hands. He may be pressing and shaping and molding us right now. He may even be placing you inside a fiery furnace to strengthen our frame. Just as a potter would bake the vessel to harden it, we're even able to choose what kind of vessel that we want to be for the honor and glory of God. Because it says it beautifully in 2 Timothy, it says, but in a great house, they are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. I don't know you, but I like the sound of being a vessel of honor. How many people in here want to be a vessel of honor for the honor and glory of God? That we want to be used by God because he's called us and we want to be that vessel of honor. I was reading from a man called Jeff Severson, the clay in the potter's hand, and the way he puts it so beautiful, it says, the shaping process is hard and long. Trials come to shape us. Our faith is stretched and tested. But in all the stretching, the pulling, and the shaping, his one design is to make us into a vessel he can use for his glory. Isn't that beautiful what God does? He takes us when we're messed up, when we're all dirty, when we're all out of shape, and he fixes us. That's what he does. So this morning, I want to look at a couple of points this morning, what I believe is so key this morning about being in the center of our walk. The first thing that we need to do, we always need to realign our vision. We have to realign our vision. Jesus has to be at the center. If he's not at the center, then why is he not at the center? What have we allowed in? What have we stopped doing that's prevented him being the center of our life? See, we need to realign our vision. It says you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. Jeremiah 29:11 puts it amazing, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope, and in those days, and when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. See, we have to realign our vision sometimes. Sometimes we can get distracted. Sometimes we can go on a false way. Sometimes we could go the wrong path. I remember in 2005 that when I was in the men's home in London, that the Lord gave me a vision for my life. He gave me a vision of being a minister and the director of the men's home and different other things in the mission, in the vision. And I remember in 2006, I was an assistant director in London. And I remember coming up to Manchester in 2007 and being a director. Then 2008, we were sort of running the re-entry, so I wasn't really the director. And I was wondering and I was questioning it over the years, and I was like, but God, I remember you calling me to be a director. I remember you calling me that. I remember you giving me such the heart for that. I remember you giving me the passion for that. I remember you giving me that desire to be that. But how many know it's a process? So we fast forward it now, 2023, I'm the director again. See the way this is what God does sometimes. See, God will take us on a journey of molding and shaping and preparing us. God will take us on journeys. It doesn't mean that you're in sin. It doesn't mean that you're not in the will of God. But sometimes God will take you on a journey because he wants to mold you and he wants to shape you, because there's something down the line that you are called to do. But if you were to do it right now, it would not end well. So we have to go through the process. See, but we don't like going through the process. We want it now. We want it now. But how many know if God was to give you it now, you would crumble? See, God takes us through a process. I was laughing about this the other day there. I'm 51 very soon. And I'm starting uni to do a psychology degree. See, and I'm speaking to some older people here. See, age is only a number. Preparation is a lifetime. See, age is only a number, but preparation is a lifetime. See, God's not forgotten you. God's not forgotten you. He's just been molding and shaping you. He's been preparing you because there's going to come the call of God once again in your life, and he's going to drop something in you, and you're going to say, you know what? I'm ready for that, because he's been preparing me for the last 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, because at the right appointed time, God will open the door for you and you will walk through it, as Pastor Paul says, like a boss. Because God has been preparing you. See, but sometimes God takes us on a journey of the molding and the shaping us. But also, sometimes we can drift from the vision. Sometimes we can drift from the vision. Sometimes God is with you and he's preparing you and molding you. But sometimes we can drift. We can allow certain things. We can become anxious. Or we can become distracted. Or we can allow pride or disappointment to come in our lives that takes us away from the vision that God has called us to do. Because you know when God has spoken to you and he's called you to do something, but sometimes maybe fear stops you completing what God has started in your life. Maybe sometimes that fear comes in and we get distracted, or money or power or sex or whatever it may be, and we can get out of the picture where God wants us to be. I believe today that God wants to realign some people back into what he has called you to be. That he wants to position you in the place again where he wants to put his anointing upon you. The anointing that breaks the chains. The anointing that sets the captives free. The anointing that opens the door. The anointing that makes you pick up that guitar and start singing songs. The anointing that makes you want to write that book that you've been thinking about for years. But you're saying, oh, I don't know if I can do it. But you don't know until you try. See, there's many people writing books. Sister Vicky's book will be out very soon. We've got Teresa's book coming out very soon. We've got Sister Tanya. She's flying books out, left, right, and center. What about you? There is many people in here that God has put something inside you that you've went through so much time of preparation. It's about time you put it in paper. Because your experience could set someone else free. Your experience could set someone else free. Don't be distracted. Just like the clay has to be in the center, we must be in the place where the Lord wants us to be. How do you get realigned? You get back to the center. You get back to the center. You get back to Jesus being first. Where it's all about Jesus. We've tried everything else. It doesn't work. But Jesus works. See, sometimes God gives us a vision and we think it's going to happen now. But how many know that Habakkuk 2 verse 3 says, the vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently. We don't like that word, do we? We don't like that word. Some of us stand in the queue at Tesco or Asda, and if the queue's that big, we're not willing to stand and wait. We'll put the shopping down and we'll say we'll come back tomorrow and get it. Because we don't like waiting. We get frustrated when we're in the car and there's a traffic jam. We don't like waiting. We don't like waiting for buses. I'll just get an Uber. Yeah? I've waited 6 minutes and the bus has not came yet. I will get an Uber. We don't like even waiting in the place to get the food, we'll just get Uber Eats. And even that, we're phoning them up and asking where they are. And you've got your little tracker. I remember we were waiting on a delivery. My wife will probably kill me for sharing this, but praise the Lord. We're waiting on a delivery for something. It was a computer thing for my wife. And now how you get it on the app, it tells you where the driver is. But we had somewhere to go, so we were chasing the driver around. So we're in the car and we're chasing around. He's went near, and I'm driving, and he's over there. And we eventually found him. He was parked up in the side having his lunch. So my wife's got out of the car and she's went up and chapped. He said, "You've got my parcel in there." Praise God, he gave us it. Amen. But sometimes, you know what? We just want to go and get it. And it's like that with God sometimes, isn't it? We just want to go and get it. We just want it and we want it now. But God has to realign the vision sometimes. I love what it says in Galatians 6 verse 9. It says, "Let us not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." If we don't give up. How many people have ever gave up in here? Put your hand up if you've ever gave up in your diet. Come on, God sees everything in here. You've gave up your gym membership. You gave up that bike you bought and put it in the shed. Come on, we've all gave up something. It says, let's not get tired of doing good at just the right time. See, just the right time comes when you're realigned in the vision that God has for you. How can God open the door if you're not standing in front of it? See, the problem's not God opening the door. The problem is sometimes that we're not standing in front of it. And that door's open. But where are you? You're over there. You went through the wrong door. It's time to come back out that door and stand before the door that God wants you to walk through for your life. I love what it says in James 4. Then it says, "So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So humble yourself before God. Submit to God. We have to submit to the vision. Not my will, but your will. How many times have we prayed that? But the minute God shows us something, we don't activate it. We start saying, "My will, but not your will be done, Lord." But we've already been there at the altar saying, "Not my will, but your will, Lord. I surrender all, I give it all to you." But then he tells you to wait for a while. And you don't want to wait. We don't just need to realign, but we also need to remove any distractions. We don't just need to realign, but we need to remove any distractions from our lives. Ephesians 4 verse 20 says, "But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus, you have learned the truth that comes from him. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitude. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." We have to throw off some stuff. We have to throw off some stuff that's attached itself to us. Some stuff that we've allowed. Some stuff that we've allowed to get back onto us. Some, like the dog that goes back to the vomit in Proverbs sometimes. We've went back to the old way of doing stuff. We've went back to the old way of thinking, the old way of doing stuff. But it says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. There's a lot of corruption and deception out there in the world right now. There's a lot of corruption and deception in society right now. But as believers, as born-again Christians, we have to throw off everything that's attached to us that is not of Christ Jesus. Because he has created us to be like God, truly righteous and holy. 1 Corinthians 13 says, "When I was a child, I spoke and I thought and reasoned as I was a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things." See, we have to remove those distractions. We have to remove those things that's taking us away from our prayer life. We have to remove those things that are stopping us read the Word of God. We have to remove those things that's stopping us worshiping. We have to remove those things that's stopping us serving Him in His house. We have to remove that stuff. Just recently there, I've been reading my Bible again. And that maybe sound amazing. I've been reading my paper Bible. My paper Bible. Hello. Because how many know that when you start reading your Bible sometimes from your phone or from your iPad or your iPatch, whatever it is you've got, when you start reading your Bible from that, all of a sudden there'll be a little notification distraction. Someone will like a post and all of a sudden you want to feed the flesh instead of feeding the spirit. So God showed me and He said, Kevin, put down your gadget and pick up the paper Bible, because that's what you done in the beginning. You never had an iPad in the men's home. You never had a gadget in the men's home. You had the Bible in the men's home. That's where you learn to hear my voice and read. That's where I spoke to you. See, sometimes we have to get back to basics. Turn off the distractions. Can my wife say amen to that for me? Amen. Because their phones are distractions sometimes. And I'm preaching to myself. I'm going to respond to the altar call. Because I get distracted sometimes on the phone. It's easy to get distracted, isn't it? Sometimes you even get distracted. And some of you are watching, looking at Instagram right now. The Lord knows what you're scrolling through. Forget about those real. This is real. Amen. This is real. Amen. God's Word is real. God's Word is truth. And it's the truth that sets us free. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So we have to throw off that stuff. I don't mean get rid of your phone. Just put it away somewhere. When it comes to your devotion time with God, it's not your devotion time with social media. It's meant to be you and God, not you and Google. Google can't set you free. Instagram can't set you free. Flapchat, Snapchat, whatever you call them, can't set you free. It's only Jesus that can set you free. So throw off, because it will distract you. There will be notifications that you have to look at. We can't wait another 20 minutes. The only thing that I look at as soon as I open my eyes is my bank account to see if God's blessed it yet. Because that's the kind of faith I've got. See, ways to prevent the distractions is we have to be accountable. We have to be accountable. You have to be people that you're accountable in your life. That when you're going through stuff, when you're struggling, we have to be accountable. We have to be teachable. We have to be approachable. We have to allow people to give people the permission to point those stuff out in our life that you're getting distracted, sir. You're getting distracted. You're getting distracted. We need those people in our lives. We need those people. We need to be humble. But I think the accountability is such an important thing. That when there's distractions, when the old nature, when we're struggling, when we're going through it, and we think that nobody cares, but God cares. And God has placed people in your lives that you can speak to, that you can talk to, that you can have conversations with. You don't need to sit there and suffer in silence. Sometimes we just have to talk about it. Sometimes you just have to get someone you can speak to and say, you know what? I'm struggling right now. I'm struggling to pray right now. I'm struggling to read my word right now. I'm struggling to get in the presence of God right now. I'm struggling to go forward right now. I'm struggling to understand certain things, but instead of bottling it all up, we have to speak it out and be accountable. See, because at the end of the day, that some people play with fire and they wonder and complain why they get burnt. You're going to get burnt if you play with fire. You're going to get burnt if you play with fire. It's common sense. So be accountable. Speak when you're going through stuff. Some people play with the fire and complain when they get burnt and blame everyone else because they got burnt. No one got your hand and made you do it. No one made you do it. It's a choice that you take. It's just because it's a lack of accountability, because if you had spoken it, someone could have gave you wise counsel and maybe helped you and led you a different way. But we do that sometimes. Because one of the enemy's way is to try and keep us quiet. To try and keep us quiet. Nobody cares. That's a lie. Nobody will understand. That's a lie. Nobody knows what you're going through. That's a lie. Nobody's ever struggled with what I've struggled with. That's a lie. There is people in this church, there is people in the body of Christ that have went through some battles. Maybe the battle that you're facing right now, and you can get alongside them, and they can help you fight, and they can help you in the battle. But we have to remove the distractions. Because you're not alone when you're there. Jesus wants you in the center. Because when you're in the center, you're protected. When you're in the center, you're covered. When you're in the center, you've got fellow people there encouraging you and lifting up your arms with you. It's only when you're over there, isolated, where the enemy comes in and he starts to whisper lies and he starts to distract you and he starts to confuse you and he starts to bring you down and he starts to bring the church down and bring other people down. But when you're in the center, you are protected. You're protected. One of the enemy's tactics is entitlement also. We think we deserve it or we're entitled to it. That's a distraction. Because we need to wake up and smell the coffee. We ain't entitled to nothing. We ain't entitled to nothing. We're saved by grace. Saved by grace. God saved us. He has a plan for us. And he doesn't want us to be outside of his will for our lives. We have to get that this morning. That the enemy's key is a distraction. But some people have been walking around with the wrong set of keys. And it's not opening the right doors. We need to be connected. Because when you're connected, you won't be distracted. See, sometimes we on the only keys that we can open is the door of distraction. You can't focus. Like you're struggling to get peace. You're struggling to break through. I believe today that there's an opportunity where we can get rid of their keys and pick up the right keys. Pick up the right keys and surrender to God, and he can get us in that place where he wants us to be, in the center. See, once we're realigned and once we get rid of the distractions, I believe the third point is the most special point. It says, just to fall in love with Jesus. Because allowing the potter to have his way when Jesus is in control, when he's number one, that's all that matters. Because he takes care of us. He provides for us. He's there for us. He loves us. That he sent his son for us. He demonstrated that love for us that when we were messed up, he sent his son for us. And it's about just falling in love with Jesus. Sometimes we overcomplicate things sometimes. But how many know that the gospel is simple? The gospel is clear. It's about falling in love with Jesus. It's trusting the process. It's a surrendered life. It's the all about him. It's putting him first. And saying, you know what? I give you control. I give you control of my life. I give you control of my family's life. I give you control of my children's life. I give you control of my work. I give you control of my education. I give you control of everything. See, that's a hard thing to do sometimes. That's a hard thing to do. Full control. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. See, it's trust in him. See, falling in love with Jesus, it's about the trust, isn't it? It's trust in him that he will take you where he needs to take you. And it's not always going to be the way that you thought it would be. It's not always going to be the way that you thought it was going to work out. It's not always going to be the way that you thought things would end up. But we're not in control. When you fall in love with Jesus, you're trusting him, that you're trusting him for this process. That you're trusting him that wherever he positions you is for your good. Wherever he challenges you in is for your good. Whatever ministry he gets you involved in is for your good. See, sometimes we don't want to trust the process and we struggle in that relationship with the love with Jesus. But one thing I know about falling in love with Jesus, he always gets it right. He never gets it wrong. So wherever he wants you to be, trust him. Whatever door he opens for you, walk through it. Whatever door he closes, don't try and kick it. Because sometimes we try and kick it and say, why is this door closing it? It looks good. But it's not God. It's not God. See, we have to trust the process. And the process can be uncomfortable sometimes because sometimes in that relationship we become vulnerable. You have to be vulnerable with Jesus sometimes. Sometimes we don't like to be vulnerable. Sometimes we see it as a weakness. But God sees it as a strength. Because when you fall in love with Jesus, when he's number one, when he's the center, all things will work for the good. I love what it says in Psalm 18, if the keyboard can come back up. Psalm 18 says, I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me and my place of safety. I called on the Lord who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies. The ropes of death entangled me. Floods of destruction swept over me. The grave wrapped its ropes around me. Death laid a trap in my path. But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry to him reached his ears. See, it's about falling in love with Jesus. See, he knows your struggles. He knows your battles. He knows what you're facing right now. He knows if you've been distracted. He knows exactly where your head is at. But falling in love with Jesus, it takes a commitment. It takes communication. It takes walking together in the good times and the bad times. See, we want to praise God when everything's going well. We struggle to praise him in the valley. But sometimes he'll have us in the valley. Because it's in the valley that he strengthens us. It's in the valley that he's strengthening us and he's preparing us. And you might find yourself in a valley season right now. But it's okay. Because it's God. If you know that you're known sin, if you know that you're living right and you know that you're doing your best, but you find yourself in a valley season, it's okay. Because God's preparing you. God's preparing you. What he's preparing you is for something amazing. And at the right time, God will reveal that to you and show you that and open the door for you. But if you have been blatant sin or you're not living right and you find yourself in that place, you have to get back to the feet of Jesus. You have to get back to the feet of Jesus. Because at the end of the day, it's all about Jesus. It's not our will, it's His will. And ask yourself this morning, where are you at? Where do you find yourself this morning? Is your the vision that God's given you, have you strayed from it? Have you strayed from that vision? You know when He spoke to you back in the beginning? When He called you to be someone or to do something, but we've strayed? Maybe today is the day that you get realigned back to that vision. Or maybe you've been distracted lately. Maybe you've been distracted with other stuff. Maybe you've been distracted with the worries and the stress of life. With all the cost of living and all the sky-high prices and all the energy stuff and all that stuff. And we've been distracted with the worry. I believe today that you don't need to worry because God's got you. You don't need to be anxious for nothing because God's got you. But if you've been distracted because of wrong choices, then you have to get rid of that because Jesus is calling you. This is the worship team make their way up. Because Jesus is calling you. He's calling you. He's calling you by name. He knew you when you were in your mother's womb. He's calling you by name. It's never too late to come back. It's never too late to come back to the Father. Or maybe you've had a different lover lately. You've stop being in love with Jesus for whatever reason. You've been hurt or you've been felt disappointed or you've felt angry or you've felt something and you fell in love with something else. I'm here to tell you that that lover will let you down. Jesus will never let you down. He will never let you down. And simply sometimes it's just falling in love with Jesus. And as we stand to our feet this morning and the worship team's going to lead us in some worship this morning, ask yourself, is He really the center of your life right now? Is He the center of your life right now? Because only you can answer that. I can't answer that for you. Only you can answer that He is the center of your life. And if He's not the center of your life right now, then He needs to be the center of your life. And as the worship team get ready to worship, and if the altars will be open, if you need to come to the altar and just kneel at the altar, cry at the altar, lift your hands at the altar, respond at the altar, whatever it may be, the altars are open. Because at the end of the day, Jesus has to be the center.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday in person at the church building or live on Facebook and YouTube at 10 a.m. Go to our website vomanchester.org.uk for more information.